Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 12 November 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We are in these two great chapters, maybe the greatest chapters in all the word of God, that defines what grace giving is all about. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As you know, that we have on our missionary support list, Jim and Phyllis Myers, who began with a fantastic ministry in the Ukraine. Jim established Bible churches there and a Bible school there. And there are many, many spiritually mature believers in that little nation. And that pivot of mature believers is the only reason why they have not been destroyed by Russia. There is an evil nation here, and inspired by Satan himself, and that's Russia. And Russia is 100% at fault, not the Ukraine. Putin is the evil dictator, not President Zelensky of the Ukraine. And Putin started this war, and he can stop it and get the hell out of Ukraine. And our president needs to have the guts enough to tell him to do just that. But there is the only reason that there is still a nation, Ukraine, is because of that pivot of mature believers established by Jim Myers in the Ukraine. But not just Jim Myers, but also Mark Musser. Mark Musser, Jim is now, he's even older than I am. That's an old fart right there. And he barely got out of Ukraine, and he has been ministering in nations all over the world, doing a great job. Mark Musser was under his ministry, and he is still living in the Ukraine and is a missionary to the people there in the Ukraine. Mark Musser and his wife, they're still there living there and ministering there. And please keep them on your prayer list besides Jim Myers and his wife Phyllis, but also Mark Musser, who is in the Ukraine and doing a fantastic job there. And not just Mark and his wife, but his daughter, Rachel Musser. She is in the Ukraine and ministering to the people there. So in your prayers for the Ukraine, not only Jim and Phyllis Myers, but Mark Musser and his wife and his daughter, Rachel Musser. And we got a letter from Rachel Musser bringing an update of what is going on right now in the Ukraine. So this is an update on life in Kiev, Ukraine, from Rachel Musser, Mark Musser's daughter. I am grateful for the chance to serve and be available for whatever work God may have for me here in Kiev at this time. It has also been great to have the chance to help my parents set up, that's Mark Musser and his wife, and set up and settle into the town home in Irpin, Ukraine, as it continues to come together. There are moments where life seems almost normal here. And then there are others when the reality of the fact that we are living in a country at war is in front of us. We teach school regularly in the shelter when under an air raid alert. There are drones and ballistic missiles sent often by Russia into Kiev, where she is living, sometimes more than once a day. Some nights, there are many hundreds of drones accompanied by missiles. We can now interpret the difference between each of the sounds that they make and the difference and the defense guns that are shooting them down. Life is planned around certain disruptions of war related to rules. There is a specific curfew time in the country as we are still under martial law. And men of a certain age are not allowed to leave the country. The energy infrastructure has been a focus recently as a main Russian target. And so we are now experiencing and preparing for different blackout situations without water, without power, without electricity as winter approaches. As of writing this letter today, there was an unplanned blackout of my apartment for over 4 hours this morning after an attack last night. And there is another planned blackout for 6 hours this evening to help conserve energy. It's getting colder. And so I am trying to figure out how to do everything I need to do with power when I have it, or find places where I can go that will have it. There are so many different questions and things to think about in regard to serving within high intensity situations. And this is the reality that many Christians are dealing with here in the Ukraine. And in the middle of it all, I have been so blessed with the chance to get to spend time getting reconnected to fellow Christian friends from the Word of God Bible Church established by Jim Myers, and meeting new friends and organizations to be able to connect with, as well as other Christian missionaries around my age. I'm excited to share more about all of this in the next newsletter, as there has been many opportunities to meet and serve together with Christian friends and new Christians. I am trusting God for continued open doors and thankful for the doors He has already provided. The psalm that comes often to my mind is Psalm 23, and the reminder that there is no need to fear with all of this that's going on. God is with us. We have this confidence and hope to share that will never disappoint. I am reminded often of one of my favorite Corrie Ten Boom quotes. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. This is from Rachel Musser, living and ministering in the Ukraine, along with her mom and dad, who are missionaries there, living right in Ukraine, and as missionaries there. It's an amazing ministry. And they have been in a war longer than we were in war in World War II. And they are still there by the grace and power of God. Now you go home and you don't have to worry about drones and ballistic missiles coming to your house. They do every day, every single day. And by the grace and power of God, they are doing a phenomenal ministry in the Ukraine. And I encourage you to keep these people on your prayer list. You don't have to worry about having water. You don't have to worry about having electricity. You don't have to worry about the basic things. You don't live when the ballistic missiles and drones come, you don't go to a shelter. And this goes on day by day by day. And this attack by Russia and Putin is satanic to the core. Putin and Russia's doing this so that they can build up their military with specific minerals. And they don't give a damn about Ukraine, damn about the people. It's It's only about building up their military. It is 100% totally satanic. And we are witnessing the grace and power of God there. My heart goes out to them. I pray for them all every single day. Every day. And I encourage you to do also. Well, we are in 2 Corinthians, the two greatest chapters in the Bible that teach what the doctrine of grace giving is all about. We are coming to the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, but that's just one of the chapters. And then we have 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians 8:16, we have the Apostle Paul giving a personal commendation of pastor-teacher Titus to do something that pastor-teacher Titus has never done before. He's a pastor. He has the gift of pastor-teacher. His primary purpose is to study and teach and feed God's sheep. But when the Apostle Paul calls on you for a request, the Apostle Paul, you say, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." And that's what Titus did. The Apostle Paul asked him to do something he had never done before, to go to Corinth and get this huge grace-giving gift. It was absolutely a tremendous amount of money. And take it from Corinth down to Jerusalem to believers who were starving to death down in Jerusalem. It took a special person, and the Apostle Paul knew his troubleshooter, Titus, was just the one to do it. So he made an assignment. "Titus, I'm asking you, making a request, for you to go to Corinth and take this and be in charge of its administration from Corinth to Jerusalem." And Titus said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." So that's what we have here. So first of all, the personal commendation of pastor teacher Titus by the Apostle Paul. That's verse 16. "Now thanks be to God," or "now grace belongs to God, the one who gives the same earnestness, the same intensity of impersonal love for all, on behalf of you, Corinthians, in the heart, in the thinking, the heart of Titus." And then in verse 17, "the God uses excellent administration when it comes to grace giving and money." The principle is to have excellent administration with virtue, with honor, with integrity. Whenever money is involved in grace giving, it must be handled with phenomenal administration, with virtue, honor, integrity. And that's exactly how this was handled. So now in 2 Corinthians 8:17, God uses excellent administration. Verse 17, "For indeed he accepted the exhortation." Well, that's not exactly what it says. That's the King James, thundering version of the King James. This is the conjunction hati plus the affirmative particle men, plus the aorist middle indicative of dekomai, plus the accusative singular of paraklesis with the definite article. Now here, The causal conjunction, hati, and we've seen this many times. You said, I know, it means because. Well, you are so smart. Hati, yes, many times. In fact, I'd say most of the times. It serves as a causal conjunction and is translated because. However, Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, pages 593 and 594, tells us that sometimes the subordination is so loose that it should be correctly translated for. And so that's how it will be translated, for. Then we have our classical Greek terms, men and death. And if you are consistent and faithful here, you know all about this too. This comes right out of classical Greek. Men introduces one clause. De introduces the next one. And it's translated, on the one hand, that's men, but on the other hand, that's de. So, corrected translation. For not only on the one hand, but also on the other hand. And then we have the verb dekomai. D-E-C-H-O-M-A-I, dekomai. A couple of things on this. Point one, literally, dekomai means to take or to receive. That's the literal translation, to take or to receive. Point two, dekomai also can mean to take in your hand, to grasp in your hand. To take in your hand, to grasp in your hand. Three, figuratively, it means to approve, to accept. To approve or to accept. Now, point four, I want you to get stick with me on point four. It's also used to mean to receive something or someone as a guest. To receive someone or something as a guest, to welcome someone as a guest. And that's how it's used here. Five, therefore, in our verse, it means to welcome an opportunity just as you would welcome a guest in your house. It means to welcome an opportunity just as you would welcome a guest. It means to receive an opportunity just as you would receive a guest. And that's what Titus did. The aorist tense is a constative aorist viewing welcoming of this opportunity in its entirety. The middle voice is deponent, middle in form, but active in meaning. The indicative mood is declarative. This is certainty, reality, fact. Point six, Titus Decomine welcomed our Paraclesis. Now, he welcomed our paraclesis. That's P-A-R-A-K-L-L-E-S-I-S, paraclesis. He welcomed our paraclesis. Seven, paraclesis sometimes can mean encouragement or exhortation. However, point 8, Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, on page 623, says that in our verse, paraklesis means appeal or request. So, corrected translation. For not only on the one hand did he, Pastor Teacher Titus, welcome our appeal as a guest, just as you would welcome a guest, or welcome our request, just as you would welcome a guest. For not only on the one hand did he, Pastor Teacher Titus, welcome our appeal or our request as you would welcome a guest. One, Titus is the best of the best as a spiritually mature believer. He is a pastor teacher, spiritually mature pastor teacher. And Titus knows that this is an opportunity that may happen only once in a lifetime. Titus knows that this is an opportunity that happens only once in a lifetime. Two, never again will Titus have the opportunity of being a key part of an administrative team never again will Titus have the opportunity of being a key part of an administrative team. Three. Now, Titus' primary job and responsibility is that of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. That's his primary job and responsibility, that of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, to feed the Lord's sheep. Four, pastor-teacher Titus has the greatest respect for the spiritual authority of the Apostle Paul. Pastor Teacher Titus is simply a pastor teacher. He's not an apostle. So Paul is way above him in rank and in spiritual authority. And Pastor Teacher Titus has phenomenal, genuine humility. And he has the greatest respect for the Apostle Paul. And when the Apostle Paul makes a request like this, Titus, with this fantastic, genuine humility, said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." Pastor Teacher Titus has the greatest respect for the spiritual authority of the Apostle Paul. He has the greatest genuine humility. Five. Therefore, Titus welcomed the opportunity to carry out the request of the Apostle Paul and to do something that was totally apart from his spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Therefore, Titus welcomed the opportunity to carry out the request of the Apostle Paul and do something totally apart from his spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Six, Titus welcomed being a part of this administrative team. This is a team. It takes a team. A local church has all these believers with all these spiritual gifts, and you're a team. We're a team. that work together as a team to the honor and to the glory of God. And Titus welcomed being a part of this administrative team to gather up and move this huge sum of money from Corinth to Jerusalem. So Titus welcomed being a part of this administrative team to move this huge sum of money from Corinth to Jerusalem. 7. Titus knew that this would be very dangerous, a lot of dangers, to move such a large sum of money from Corinth to Jerusalem without a Roman army to guard it. There was no Roman army to guard it, but there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So, move out. 8. Thousands of believers in Jerusalem were starving to death. Thousands of believers in Jerusalem were starving to death. Nine. So Titus welcomed the opportunity to move that large sum of money from Corinth to Jerusalem and save the lives of thousands of believers in Jerusalem. So Titus welcomed the opportunity to move that large sum of money from Corinth to Jerusalem and save the lives of thousands of believers in Jerusalem. 10. Because of maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart, because of maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart and totally understanding the doctrine of grace giving, Titus welcomed this opportunity. Because of maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart and totally understanding the doctrine of grace giving, Titus welcomed this opportunity. 11. Titus has a free will. He could have said yes. He could have said no. Twelve. Titus gladly welcomed this opportunity, and he said, yes, yes, sir, Apostle Paul, yes, sir, I'll do it. 13, a very important principle in our spiritual life. God's team functions on humility and authority orientation and self-discipline. God's team functions on humility, authority orientation, and discipline. And Titus and his brother Luke, who is also a part of the team, have all three of these virtues. 14, discipline and authority are a key part of the spiritual life and teamwork within the body of Christ. Discipline and authority are a key part of the spiritual life and teamwork in the body of Christ. We're all on the same team, the body of Christ. So, corrected translation, for not only on the one hand did Titus welcome our appeal. He welcomed it like you would welcome a guest into your house. For not only on the one hand did he, Titus, welcome our appeal, but being very diligent of his own accord, he went unto you. Now we have the other part of the men de. Now we have de, plus the comparative spoudiateros, plus the present active participle of huparko, plus the adjective althiretos, plus the aorist middle indicative of exerkomai, and then the prepositional phrase pros, plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun sou. So now we have the other part of that classical Greek idiom. Now we have de. We had men in the first clause, now we have de. De is the completion of the classical Greek men and de, on the one hand, but on the other hand. And then we have the verb huparko. H-U-P-A-R-C-H, long O, huparko. Huparko, it actually means to exist, to be present, to be at one's disposal. It also means to be in a certain status quo, or to be in possession of something. But once again, Arnton Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon, pages 845 and 846, tells us that huparko is a widely used substitute for the to be verb, eimi, and that's how it used in our verse. And then spoudiateros. Now that's a 25-cent word right there. S-P-O-U-D-A-I-O-T-E-R-O-S. Spoudiateros. Now that is the comparative form of the adjective spoudias. That's the comparative. Here's the adjective spoudias. S-P-O-U-D-A-I-O-S. So you have spoudias, and then the comparative, spoudiateros. So a couple of things. First of all, one, spoudias means eager, zealous, earnest, diligent. Eager, zealous, earnest, diligent. Two, the comparative form, which is what we have, spoudiateros, means more diligent, well motivated. So we have the comparative form, more diligent, well motivated. Three, spoudiateros is a combination of mental attitude, drive, motivation, and the ability to carry it out. The combination of mental attitude, motivation, and the ability to carry out. And then we have Authairetos. Looks like that in the Greek, Authairetos. Authairetos. And Authairetos, well, it's only found two times in the New Testament. Both times it is found, it's used by the Apostle Paul both times. And both times it's used in our passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in 2 Corinthians 8:3, and in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 17. It's not found in the Septuagint version of the Hebrew canonical scriptures, but it is found in other Greek versions of the Old Testament. So, one, authairetos means of one's own accord. Of one's own accord. And it's very likely that, God the Holy Spirit had the genius, Apostle Paul, use this word to perfectly communicate the doctrine that needed to be taught. Of one's own accord. Two, this is someone who chooses his own course of action from his free will, his own volition. This is someone who chooses his own course of action from his own volition, his free will. Three, authairetos implies making a good decision from your own free will. Making a good decision from your own free will. And then we have ex erchomai. Ex erchomai, E-K-S. E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I, ex erchomai. Now, literally, ex erchomai means to go out, to come out, to go away, to retire. The aorist tense is the consecutive aorist. He went out, he moved out, he moved toward the objective. And it looks at it from its entirety. He went out, he moved toward the objective in its entirety. So the consecutive aorist views Titus' trip from Corinth to Jerusalem in its entirety. That's the consecutive aorist. The middle voice is deponent, middle informed but active in meaning. Titus is the one who performed the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative again. This is reality, certainty, fact. And then the prepositional phrase pros plus the accusative of the personal pronoun su. Pros plus the accusative, P-R-O-S, pros plus the accusative of the personal pronoun, su, S-U. See, su, not thu, T-H-U-A-R. Or not S-U-E, su. And that means face to face with you. So, corrected translation of verse 17. For not only on the one hand, did he, Titus, welcome our appeal like you'd welcome a guest into your house? But on the other hand, being very earnest from his own free will, he has moved out face to face with you. For not only on the one hand did he, Titus, welcome our appeal, but on the other hand, being very earnest from his own free will, He has moved out face to face with you. So we move on to verse 18. And we have sent with him, the King James says, the brother. And we have sent with him the brother. This is the postpositive conjunction de plus the aorist active indicative of sum pempo plus the prepositional phrase meta plus the genitive singular of autos plus the accusative singular of adelphos with the definite article. All right, we have the postpositive conjunction de. D-E, de. And the postpositive conjunction de is a transitional de, and it may be correctly translated and, moreover, then, or now. We'll translate it and then the verb sum pempo. That's S-U-M-P-E-M-P, long O, sum pempo. All right. First of all, one, this is a compound word made up of the preposition soon with and pempo, the verb to send. So it's a compound verb made up of the preposition soon with plus pempo to send. So two, literally it means to send with. Three, figuratively, sum pempo means to send in the company of someone, to send in the company of someone, to send at the same time, to send someone with someone. So it means to send in the company of someone, to send at the same time, to send someone with someone. And then we have meta plus the genitive of autos with him, and that is Titus. With him, Titus. And then we have ton adelphon. Now this is very important. Now this is in the accusative case. This is the definite article in the accusative case. So that this is the definite article, and this is adelphos, the noun. Now, I have in my little tiny cubicle back here, I got all these books, and I have used them so much that the pages are falling out of just about all of them. My books are old farts, and the guy using them is an old fart. I'm falling apart, my books are falling apart, but I use them every day. Not just Arndt and Gingrich, but I have a lot of books. And another one I check on all the time, Dana and Mante, A Manual Grammar of the Greek New Testament. Dana and Mante, A Manual Grammar of the Greek New Testament, on page 148, says that in our verse, ton adelphon, adelphos, that's the word brother. That's the word brother, and it's often a technical term for the royal family of God. But in our verse, the definite article is used here, Dana and Manti says. It's used here as a possessive pronoun. As a possessive pronoun, and it should be correctly translated, his brother. So you see, I didn't just have a bad dream during the night and come up with this. I'm in there studying and looking up in all these books and here pointed out that in this verse, the definite article is used as a possessive pronoun and it should be translated his brother. Now, who is Titus' brother? I'm glad you asked that. Titus's brother is Luke. You don't translate it the brother. This is not the brother. This is his brother. This is Titus's brother. So, corrected translation. And we have sent along with him, along with Titus, his brother Luke. Now, if I don't to take the time and I check these out and I look at the verse I'm in and see if they have anything to say about this, and they do, I read everything they have to say about it, why, I would never have found this. But this is a big deal. And we have sent along with him his brother Luke. All right. One. So this administrative team set up by the Apostle Paul has sent a team, an administrative team made up of Titus and his brother Luke, and then a third, an unknown believer. So this administrative team is made up of pastor teacher Titus and Luke, his brother Luke, and an unknown believer. Two, Titus is in charge of this operation. Titus is the one in charge of this operation. Three, and Titus was truly blessed to have his brother Luke as a part of the team. Titus was truly blessed to have his brother Luke as a part of the team. Four, Titus and Luke were on the exact same page doctrinally. Titus and Luke were on the exact same page doctrinally. And I tell you, I have been blessed. Everybody in my family, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. My mother was the first one. She was a believer when nobody else was. My dad was the last of the Olson-Hekins who believed in Christ. But he did. First time I told him he was out working in the fields and construction, and he had a pipe in his, he smoked a pipe. And I was so excited to tell him, because he always asked me, what are you going to do? What are you going to do the rest of your life? And then God showed me what I'm going to do. He gave me the gift of pastor teacher. And I went all the way home, went out. He was working with his overalls. I said, Dad, I know what I'm supposed to do the rest of my life. He said, oh, what's that? I'm going to be a pastor teacher. He bit down on his pipe, broke the, not one of those blank, blank, blank preachers. I said, no, I'm not going to be one of those guys. I have the gift of pastor teacher, though. I get to feed God's sheep. And that was initially. But he would always come here every year. And I gave him the gospel again and again and again and again and again and again. And he believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And near the end of his life, he was here. And after class was over, He came in and talked to me. He said, Rich, he said, the world needs more people like you here doing what you're doing. I said, Dad, that means everything just to hear you say that. I said, I know I'm doing what God put me here to do. But to see he changed in his mental attitude from not one of those blankety blank blank preachers to this world needs more people like you doing what you're doing right now. And Dad is in heaven. But all my brothers believed in Christ. And all my brothers are very positive and winner believers. All of them. Don, Mike, Dave, they're all not only Christians, they're winner believers. And my sister Judy, winner believer. The whole family. What a blessing. And my brother Don listens to my classes. He gets all my classes. He was down here. You saw him. He was down here for a couple of days. He was here Sunday. And we talk every Monday. And we are on the exact same page doctrinally. Exact same page. In fact, when he gets done talking to me, I tell him, Don, I love you, brother. I love you. Keep on keeping on. America needs the pivot. Keep on. And he gets choked up and starts to break down a little bit on the phone. Then he says that to me, and then I get choked up. See, I do. I get choked up on those things too. But I love my brother Don. We're on the exact same page. That's Titus and Luke. Titus and Luke on the exact same page doctrinally. Both are great winner believers. Five, they both understand that there is a once-in-a-lifetime operation. They both understand that this is a once-in-a-lifetime operation. Six, with great genuine humility, Luke functioned under his brother Titus's leadership. Titus was in charge. And with great genuine humility, Luke functioned under his brother Titus' leadership. And there were no problems at all. No problems at all. They worked together perfectly as a team. They were on the exact same page. Seven. So Luke is a great winner believer in his own right. Luke is a great winner believer in his own right. And we have sent along with him his brother Luke. This is a phenomenal passage on grace giving. They both understand the doctrine of grace giving, and they both have the most phenomenal, genuine humility, and they know the Apostle Paul is the authority. And when he requests for them to do something, no problem at all. Yes, sir. We'll do it. And work together perfectly in great spiritual teamwork. All right. Well, hope this is as much fun for you all as it is for me. We got the rest of chapter 8 and then chapter 9 coming up. And, whoa, it just gets better and better. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.